Chapter 9. Your sister's not going to be in the canyon hanging with those losers, Tara scoffed. They do drugs and fight and...
I just want to make sure, Darcy said, swallowing hard. Cooper drove into the park, and the four of them walked down toward the canyon, toward the murmur of voices and the smell of marijuana.
Look, Cooper said, let me do the talking, okay?
He led the way. Darcy couldn't make out the faces of anybody in the canyon. Many wore ponchos or were wrapped in blankets against the night's chill. Garbage bag tarp sheltered a pair leaning against a pine tree. Cooper passed Jamie's picture around and then returned to the other three.
She's not here. Never was. They were straight up with me.
I'm so scared, Darcy said as they walked back to the truck. What if we never find her? What if she just disappears like those kids you see pictures of on flyers? The ones who disappeared years ago? What if we never even find out if she's dead or alive?
Hakeem put his arm around Darcy's shoulders and pulled her gently against himself.
Don't think that way. She's gonna be back. She's just hanging out somewhere.
She took all of her favorite clothes, Darcy cried.
Kids do stupid things, you know,
Hakeem reminded her.
Yeah, Tara agreed. I ran away when I was about 13. My dad is really strict, and I wasn't having any more of it. You hear what I'm saying? I was out of there. I hid in my cousin's basement for 3 days. Then they found me and hauled me back home, and my dad took off his belt and whooped me silly. He goes, this is 'cause I love you, Tara Lucille. Then he whooped me. I couldn't sit down for a week after that, but I was sure glad to be back home.
They drove around for another hour, looking at every forlorn and spaced out kid they saw, but there was no sign of Jamie, and finally Cooper and the gang headed back to Darcy's apartment.
It'll be okay, Darcy, Hakeem said as they pulled up in front of her apartment.
He leaned over and brushed a kiss over Darcy's ear. I'm praying for you and your sister. It'll be okay. Darcy was getting out of the truck when she saw the silver Toyota across the street. Darcy's father got out when he saw her.
Who's that?
Hakeem asked as the heavy man approached them.
That's my dad, Darcy said, feeling her palms begin to sweat. She had not spoken to him since he had gone.
But I thought he left your family years ago, Hakeem replied.
He did, Darcy whispered.
Hakeem looked surprised, and Darcy wanted to explain everything to him, but not now. Hakeem seemed to take the hint, and she was grateful that he didn't ask any more questions. Darcy stared at her father in the brightness of Cooper's headlights. His face was puffy and swollen, and his eyes were red. Darcy couldn't help thinking he looked like the loser of a boxing match that had lasted for years.
I know I shouldn't be here, Carl Wills said, but the police called me about Jamie being missing.
Darcy was torn between the small signs of familiarity, the soft brown eyes like tawny velvet that had been so comforting when he told her bedtime stories, and the bloated face that bore no resemblance to the person he once was. Darcy had often wondered what she would say to her father if she ever met him again. She had wondered what wild, conflicting emotions would whirl through her heart, but now, in her sorrow and worry over Jamie, there was little emotion over meeting her father. Darcy simply stared at him the way tourists might stare at a monument they were curious about. Finally, Darcy's father said in a deep, anguished voice,
it wasn't over me coming back, was it? That isn't what made her run, is it? May God strike me dead if I'm the cause of it.
Darcy couldn't speak. She was grateful to Hakeem for standing beside her. He waved to Cooper and Tara to tell them to drive away.
Call me as soon as you know anything, Tara called.
Good luck, Darcy, Cooper added, before driving off.
Hakeem took Darcy's hand and said,
Darcy, if you don't want to talk to your father, I will. I'll find out if he knows anything about where your sister is.
Darcy hesitated for a moment, and Dad finally spoke up.
We could go somewhere and talk, he suggested. Me, you, and your friend. There's a diner not far from here. What do you want to do?
Hakeem asked Darcy in a gentle voice. Darcy nodded. I'll go, she said. She and Hakeem squeezed into the front seat of her father's car. Judging by the clutter on the back seat, he had been living there.
Shirts and pants were piled up next to stuffed bags and boxes. Darcy sat there, her mind caught up in memories of birthday parties, rides on roller coasters, trips to the zoo. Dad holding her over his head while she screamed with joy. Of the night when they knew he was gone. Mom sobbing. Jamie screaming. Of the hopes that he would return in the slow, painful way all hope died as time built impenetrable barriers. Could Jamie have called him of all people and told him where she was going? Could she have betrayed everyone who loved her to get close to a man who had only loved himself? The three of them found a booth way in the back corner of a diner. Darcy could not bear to look at her father, so she stared into her glass of soda. "Have you heard anything from Jamie?" Hakeem asked Carl Wills.
"No, nobody called me, just the police. They said she ran away and asked if I knew anything. I didn't even know she was gone," he said, taking a gulp of coffee. "Do you know anything else about what happened? Did she leave a note or anything?"
"No," Darcy answered, still not looking at him. "She took all of her favorite stuff and just left. Like you did," Darcy thought bitterly. The only difference was, everybody knew where Carl Wills had gone. To New York, with that 24-year-old.
"It wasn't because of me coming back, was it?" he asked again.
Now, finally, Darcy looked up. She looked into the prematurely aging face of her father. At the unfamiliar ruts and crags, the scar near his left eye that had not been there 5 years ago. He looked as if he was in deep pain, and that was all that consoled Darcy. "It might be that," she said. "It was a big shock to have you come back after 5 years. She worshipped you. You should have seen her right after you left, making up crazy lies to explain why you were still a good guy, even though you left us. You were being held prisoner by enemy agents. You saw mobsters at the house, and you left to draw them away from your family. Stuff like that." Then she learned the truth. She had all that hurt in her, and now, all of a sudden, you're back, bringing all the hurt back. Maybe that's why she ran. Carl Will's hands shook as he wrapped them around the coffee cup and took several more gulps. "She cried so much when you left, and she kept on crying because it was a wound that wouldn't heal." Darcy went on, finding comfort in his obvious misery. She wanted to somehow pile all her own pain on this man's soul, crushing him with a burden, and then be free of it herself. Hakeem leaned over to Darcy and quietly said, "You want me to wait outside? Maybe there's something private you want to say to your father." "Yeah," Darcy said. Hakeem got up and left the coffee shop. A damp breeze rushed in after him, mixed with the smell of approaching rain. "I used to wonder what I'd say if I ever saw you again," Darcy began in a flat voice. "I guess I just want to know why you did it. Left, I mean." Darcy expected a roll call of excuses. Mom's shortcomings, his advancing middle years, his failures at his third-rate jobs, perhaps that he'd been seduced by a wily young woman at a low point in his life.
"There ain't no easy answer, Darcy," Dad began, lowering his head. "I wish I could give you one, but I can't."
"You can't think of anything? Nothing at all?" Darcy asked, her voice rising. "After all these years, you have nothing to say?"
Darcy watched as her father straightened himself up in the booth. His face looked like an honest one to her for some reason, but she didn't know if it was a disguise.
"Darcy," Dad went on, "I've suffered for all the suffering I brought on you girls and your mother. You might not believe that, but it's something I've had to live with every day, and I still do. I'd do anything to be able to take back those 5 years, but I can't. When I left, I told myself that your mother was a strong woman with a fine job. She'd do all right without me, maybe better. Her mother was strong, too. She'd help. You girls were doing well, and I told myself it was my time to be happy. And so I left."
He took a deep breath, wiped his eyes, and continued.
"Darcy, I am so sorry for the pain I caused you. Nothing I can say right now is going to take that away. And I understand if you never forgive me, but I'm here for you. You might not believe me, but it's true, I'm here."
Darcy looked at him, unsure what to believe. She couldn't make her father into the noble character she once thought he was. She couldn't wish that fantasy man back into existence. Not all her sorrow could fix what had happened. Not all his guilt could change the past. Darcy shoved her empty glass away and got up. She thought she heard her father mumble something about being sorry as she ran towards the door, pushed it open, and fled into Hakeem's arms. Darcy had a half-hearted hope that Jamie would be home when she got there, but she wasn't. Not only was there no Jamie, there was no further information on her either. Darcy wanted the world to stop until Jamie returned, yet she knew the next day would come just like any other. Mom's bosses expected her at work, and classes would still be held at Blueford. It all seemed like part of a cruel joke, Darcy thought. Darcy fed Grandma some stew, and then pudding. She sat with her for a little while. Grandma said little today. She mumbled something about it being a mistake to move back to Alabama with Aunt Letitia. She said she heard wind blowing, even though there was no wind. Finally, she drifted off to sleep, and Darcy went into the living room with her mother. "I saw Dad tonight," Darcy said. "You what?" "He was parked across the street when I got home with Hakeem. The police called and told him about Jamie. He wondered if there was any news," Darcy explained. "Did you say anything about us?" Mom asked in a shaky voice. Before Darcy could answer, her mother continued. "I mean, did he ask if everything was the same?" "No, he didn't ask, and I didn't tell him anything. I didn't tell him about Grandma being sick or anything. He doesn't deserve to know our business. He has nothing to do with us anymore," Darcy said coldly. "He looks awful, Mom. He's put on 60 pounds at least." "You wouldn't know him. I'm glad he thinks he caused Jamie to run away, because he did in a way. I'm glad he's suffering. He deserves it." "Oh, baby, don't let the anger eat you alive," Mom cautioned. "I asked Dad why he left us," Darcy said. "I imagine he gave you an earful," Mom sighed. "He says he's sorry and he wishes he could take the 5 years back. He even said he's here for me, whatever that means," Darcy said bitterly. "Why, then there's good still left in him." "Only someone with good in him could feel that much guilt," Mom replied. "Don't you know, baby, truly evil people never feel guilt at all?" "It doesn't matter anymore," Darcy sighed. "I don't care what he thinks about anything. I just want my little sister home. I want Jamie home, Mom. I mean, there's so little left of our family that we can't lose another piece, don't you see?" Darcy began to cry, her tears turning into wrenching sobs. "Grandma is so sick. And Mom, I just want Jamie home,"